You can turn down your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, let's listen to God's word. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and it's profitable for us. We ask now your spirit to work in our hearts and minds as we tackle this text. We pray that you will be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, James begins this section of Scripture with a question. Look at verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding in the church? Remember, he's writing to churches. He's writing to Christians. His whole point is to help Christians, the church, grow in sanctification, grow in holiness. He just tackled the tongue, right? We talked about that last week. That was encouraging, right? But now he's talking about wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. Who is wise? Who is understanding? Or who has understanding? And that question that he's asking, he's not asking these churches for specific names. Like Lisa's wise. You know, Frank is understanding. No, he's not doing that. He's giving us first, he's asking a rhetorical question, and he's giving us then a general definition, a general understanding of what being wise and what having understanding means. So the wise and the understanding ones, look back at the text, have good conduct. That's the first part. The wise in the church, the wise in Christ, those who have understanding, they have good conduct. They don't just talk the talk, they live it. They aren't ivory theologians, ivory tower theologians who just study God's word. No, they have good conduct. They have good works. This ties in with just a few sermons ago, the end of chapter 2. They have good conduct. Their life is a life of good action, good work. Their life is a life of living for Christ. But it's not just good conduct, is it? What else? The wise and the understanding within the church are those who are meek. Those who are meek. Those who are gentle and humble. Wisdom and understanding are not always those who have all the answers and are quick to have the answers. They have good conduct. They have gentleness and humility in addition to the answers. And I think it's so important for us to understand. And this definitely ties in with the rest of James. It's not just what we say or what we know, right? There's this gentleness, there's this humility, and there's this life of good conduct. And then, though, James gets specific, right? Look at verses 14 through 16. He gets specific on what, though? On understanding what wisdom and understanding are not, okay? Are not. I want to be clear. What wisdom and understanding are not. We'll understand that in a second. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Okay, so what is not wisdom? What is not having understanding? When we're talking about heavenly wisdom and heavenly understanding, bitter jealousy. Bitter jealousy. We aren't to look at others and be jealous. We aren't to look at other churches and be jealous. We are to rejoice We are to rejoice in others. Rejoice in other churches. I am not, as a pastor, to be jealous of my brothers in the PCA who preach and preach phenomenally. That's the great thing about the PCA. We have amazing preachers across the nation. I am not to be jealous of that. I am not to be jealous that there are other churches in town that are bigger than TRPC, that have bigger budgets than TRPC. I'm not to be jealous. I'm not to be jealous of Joel Osteen's beautiful smile. I am to be okay with my smile. That's what it is. That's how I smile. Don't be jealous of it. But bitter jealousy is not wisdom. That's not heavenly wisdom. That's not heavenly understanding. That's not from heaven. Being truly wise and understanding is not to have selfish ambition either. And that's a tricky one. We're not to have selfish ambition. Ambition is not bad in and of itself, right? Kids, us parents, we want you to do things. Have ambition. Like clean your room. So ambition is not wrong. Having the right motives and goals, that's not wrong. That's not what he's saying here. But we're to have ambition not for selfish gain or selfish desire, but ambition for what? For God's glory. Our ambition is to bring glory to God. My ambition should not be to be the best preacher in town so our church grows and so I'm respected and known throughout the community. So that's a temptation for me as well as other pastors, of course. That's how that happens sometimes, unfortunately. But that's selfish ambition on my part. My ambition should be to be a great preacher and a great pastor and to preach the word of God faithfully for God's glory and let him do with it what he will. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And that's the same for us. If we are a student, if we go to school, our ambition should be to be a student for God's glory, not just for good grades. If we are a teacher, we have teachers in here. We're not to be a teacher just so we can earn a paycheck or win awards. We're to be a teacher for God's glory. If we are a business owner, we're not to be a business owner to make a lot of money or to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or Sam Walton, depending on your generation, but for God's glory. And even if we play a sport, whatever your sport may be, we have athletes here. Not me, but other people. You don't play to win. You don't play for championships. You play for God's glory. There's a big difference. It's not to be selfish ambition. Ambition for God's glory. Ambition for God's glory. Having true wisdom and understanding does not just involve that, but it also not involve boasting. He says, do not boast. Do not boast about having selfish ambition. Do not boast about all that other stuff, but do not boast. We are not to boast. That's not selfish, or that's not heavenly wisdom. That's not heavenly understanding. That's not meek. That's not gentle. That's not humility. We are not to boast. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you. And not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. This verse, I believe, was the theme verse, one of the theme verses for Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow will go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football player ever. But he would not boast about himself. He still does not. Others boast, not himself. We are not to boast. We are not to boast about ourselves and our accomplishments. I mean, think about it. Who likes hanging out with a boaster? Who likes, you know, we're at a party, a get-together, and you're in a conversation with a bunch of people, and there's a person, and they're just boasting about themselves over and over again, just boasting. Aren't we, like, trying to, like, sneak out? Don't we look at our phone hoping for an emergency? Moments like that? It's not heavenly. It's not wisdom when we are boasting. Now, of course, and parents, whether you're grandparents and parents, we boast about our kids, right? That's different. That's not what James is talking about. And I'm not saying that's different because I want to get away with it. Because when we boast about our kids, well, we can act that way with our kids and grandkids. But just by declaring what our children have accomplished or what our grandchildren have accomplished. That's not what James is talking about. If we always boast and always have that selfish boasting there, then yes. Constant boasting, constant self-centeredness here. That's what James is talking about, and that's not wise. That's not wisdom. Being a liar is not wise either. Being false to the truth, being a liar, not wisdom, not understanding. That's dishonesty. That's sin. And then notice this, being a liar, being a boaster, having bitter jealousy, having selfish ambition, how does James describe it? He says it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Those are characteristics of the world, of the earth, right? We are taught in all worlds, in all spheres of this world, in politics, in business, in sports, in entertainment, to be the exact opposite of what James is saying here. We are told to boast about our achievements. We are told to lie if we have to in order to achieve what we want. That's politics, by the way, if you didn't know. But we are told to do that. We are told to be jealous in order to have that selfish ambition to get what you want. That's the world. That's worldly wisdom. Not only that, but that's unspiritual wisdom. That's wisdom from people who don't believe in God, who don't know Christ, who live, again, self-centeredly for themselves. And that's the wisdom of Satan. It's demonic. Satan lies. He boasts. Satan has been jealous of God, is jealous of God. And he has selfish ambition. And that's just Genesis 3. That's not what we are to be. Brothers and sisters of Christ, we are to have heavenly wisdom, heavenly understanding, not worldly, not demonic, heavenly. And where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, where there's boasting and there's lying, we see what? Verse 16, disorder and every vile or extremely unpleasant practice. Is that supposed to define the church? Would you want to go to TRPC if we were full of every vile or extremely unpleasant practice? Or if we were just jealous of one another and disorderly? That's not the church. It's not what it's supposed to be. We are to be filled with joy, order, and pleasant practices. So what is Christ-like wisdom and understanding? What are the specifics of verse 13? Verse 13 was general. What are the specifics? Look at verses 17 and 18. James says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So heavenly wisdom, Christ-like wisdom, is first what? Pure. Pure. It's the exact opposite of bitter jealousy, isn't it? It's the exact opposite of selfish ambition. It's pure. It's all about God. It's all about God's glory. That's that wisdom. Being wise also entails what? Peace. Being peaceable. We don't make quarrels with one another. We don't fight with one another. We desire peace in all relationships, whether that's like privately in our family, our marriage, or here at church. We don't always have to agree with one another. That's fine. But even in our disagreements, we make peace. You don't agree with what the session has done. I understand that. You don't see the whole story, so make peace. You don't agree with what the deacons have done. Because I always pick on elders, so I'm going for the deacons now. You don't always agree with what the deacons do. Neither do I. Kidding. Be at peace. Make peace. You don't like what someone said to you in church. Come talk to the elders. Help us shepherd you. Seek peace. That's what heavenly wisdom is. Heavenly understanding. It's filled with peace. It's also being gentle. Not harsh, not mean, not rough and tough. That's so hard. Especially for the type A personalities. All right? It's hard, but gentle. Now here's an interesting one. We have to be careful here. Being wise involves being open to reason, being open to reason. This doesn't mean we change our biblical convictions or biblical truths. I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to end with that. But it means we aren't stuck in our old ways, stuck in tradition, stuck in this is how we've always done it. Or I'm right. I know I'm right. I don't care. Again, we're not talking about biblical truths like justification or anything like that. But we're open to reason. We don't change the word. We don't compromise the word because of what culture says or what's popular in the culture. But we're open to reason with everything that's not biblical. We're open to reason. Being wise means being merciful. That's what James says. Show mercy. We aren't hardened people. We aren't hardened against people who've made mistakes, who've made bad life choices. We aren't hardened against each other because we're of our jealousy. We are merciful. We bear good fruit. We have good conduct. That's verse 13, but he says again, we bear good fruit. We live a life of good works. Again, James is being pretty honest about this. We are impartial. We don't take sides just to take sides. We're impartial. We listen to the truth and we decide. We're sincere. We say something and we mean it. We're sincere. Do you see what he's saying here? It's not what you know that's wise. It's not what you know that provides understanding. It's who you are. Are you like Jesus? That's what he's writing about. That's what he's been writing about for the whole letter. Stop acting like it's all about what we know. It is important to know things like the Bible. Isn't that shocking? A pastor would say that. It's important to know our theology and have correct theology because that's biblical and that helps us in life. And dare I say, it's important to know church polity. That's why we talked about it this morning. And it's important to know about church history. I'm about to yawn. Hold on. That's just so boring, right? Church history. No, it's not. It's awesome. We need to know that stuff, and we need to be constantly learning and growing in our knowledge. We need to. That doesn't make you wise. Just because you know those things doesn't make you wise. And I think that's the problem, one of the problems in the PCA. And I think that's one of the problems in the Reform camp overall. We put so much emphasis on what we know. Know your theology. Know your Bible. Know your church history. And we forget about the conduct part. Know your Bible, know your theology, know your church history, know your polity. Be like Jesus. Live like Jesus. That's wisdom. That's what James is saying here. But notice something else. True understanding and true heavenly wisdom here does something else in the sanctification. It produces what? It produces righteousness. When we have heavenly wisdom and we have heavenly understanding, when it's not just about our head knowledge, but it's our heart, it produces righteousness in us and others. Isn't that amazing? God will use us for others and he will work in our own hearts. And not only that, we will grow in righteousness, but we will become what? Peacemakers. Peacemakers. That's so big for the church, right? That's huge for the church, but it's huge for everyone else. It's huge to be a peacemaker in the world for Christ. It's huge. And when we are like Jesus, when we have that heavenly wisdom, heavenly understanding, that's what we are. That's what we become. But how discouraging is this section of Scripture? How many of us fail? How many of us stumble in this? There are times in our life, and if we're honest, probably many times, when we aren't pure, we're not peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, full of good fruit, sincere and impartial. That probably just described your morning. And there are times in our life, sadly, many times, right, if we're honest, that we have bitter jealousy. I'm jealous of that preaching style. I'm jealous of what those churches do and what I can't do. There's bitter jealousy in my heart. How many times do we have the selfish ambition? How many times will we boast or we lie? A lot. We get jealous when we don't get suggested or nominated for a church officer position. Right? We lie to make ourselves look better. We boast about what we've done for the kingdom. We make decisions for our church or our own personal life based off of our selfish ambition and not God's glory. We fail in this. In other words, we fail so much in gaining heavenly wisdom and heavenly understanding. But that's where our triune God comes in. That's where our triune God comes in. Because we can't have heavenly wisdom and heavenly understanding apart from our triune God. God the Father, He gives us grace. He gives us grace, saving grace, first of all. He calls us out of darkness and He saves us by His grace. And we need to remember that, first of all. By His grace we are saved. By His grace He gives us Jesus. By His grace. Yes, I'm saying by His grace a lot because we need to remember that. By His grace we are saved. But by His grace we gain heavenly wisdom as well. By His grace we can grow in sanctification. We need His grace. His grace is not just a one-time thing we ask for at salvation. It's a lifelong, daily, moment-by-moment thing we need to cry out for. God, Father, give me grace. God, Father, help me be gentle. Help me be a peacemaker. Help me have ambition for Your glory and not my own. God the Father, we need His grace. But God the Son, Jesus. God the Son, Jesus. He died on the cross for us. We are saved by God the Father's grace. But God the Son, Jesus, died, paid the penalty on the cross for our sin. He is our Savior. But more than that, He frees us. He frees us from our bitter jealousy. He frees us from boasting, selfish ambition, and lying. He frees us from that when He dies on the cross. Talk to someone this week who has anxiety. And what I'm about to say, I'm not saying that the gospel and the Bible frees us from all anxiety or mental conditions or anything like that. We need help, doctors, and medicine, okay? But I told him, you are free from the bondage of anxiety. God loves you more than birds. God loves you more than flowers. And I'm not going off the deep end, Matthew 6. He loves you. You are free from that anxiety. And here we are free because of Jesus from bitter jealousy. We are free from that. I don't have to be jealous of other pastors. I can rejoice in who God made me and what He's called me to do. Flaws and all. It doesn't mean I can't grow. Of course I can. And same thing about you. You don't have to be jealous about anyone else. God loves you. He has made you. Don't be jealous. And all the other ones as well. We need God, the Son, Jesus. We need God, the Holy Spirit. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that regenerated us to begin with by God's grace. He regenerated us so we could trust Christ. He regenerated us so we could repent of our sins. But God, the Holy Spirit, clothes us. And what does He clothe us in? Heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom and heavenly understanding. We need our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't earn that wisdom. You can't earn it. And it's not a checklist. I went to church, read my Bible, and prayed. I should get heavenly wisdom. No, do those things, but first, rejoice that God gives and gives generously. Rejoice. Repent. Let us repent of our shortcomings, of our failures. Let us cry out then for God's grace. We all fail. We all sin. We all lack heavenly wisdom and understanding. But cry out to God, and God will work in us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just wonderful? But here, finally, if you don't have heavenly wisdom, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you just have that earthly, unspiritual demonic wisdom. And you are lost. Don't you want heavenly wisdom? Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be forgiven for all the things that you've done wrong? Don't you want to be loved unconditionally? Better than a love that a husband and wife can have? Don't you want to be loved by God? Then repent and come to Jesus. Through Christ we are saved. Through Christ God loves us. And through Christ we can be clothed with heavenly wisdom and heavenly understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is perfect, without error, without flaws. And Father, we ask you now for your grace. Grace in our life. Clothe us, O God, in heavenly wisdom. Make us look like Jesus. Help us fight our sin and become more and more holy. Help us do this for your glory and not our own. And Father, if there are some here who do not know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, Father, work in their heart. Bring them to faith in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.